You're listening to Idaho Matters. I'm Gemma Gaudette. Boise State History Professor Bob Reinhart saw a problem in his department. His students were learning valuable skills about how to collect and share histories, but they had limited opportunities to actually use those skills out in the world until they graduated. And at the same time, countless community organizations were in need of historical expertise. So Bob helped create the Working History Center to connect students with these organizations. Blake Hunter and Shayna Lynch are two students who recently worked with community organizations to compile and share histories. And they are joining Idaho Matters Live right now along with their professor, Bob Reinhart. Hi, everyone.
Hello.
Hello.
Hey there.
Hey, Bob, let's start with you because you helped found the Working History Center at Boise State. So can you just talk about the gap that I mentioned that you saw and then what really inspired you to do what you did?
Yeah, so there's actually a couple of gaps. So one of them, as you said, is about all these really valuable skills that our students are learning and developing, this expertise as historians that they're developing. And then also connecting these students that love history and are so good at it with meaningful careers in it. You know, a lot of people, when they think of history, all they can think of for a career is teaching, which is a very important profession. But there are so many other ways to put those skills to use. And so the Working History Center is all about trying to figure out ways of connecting students that love history with opportunities in that. And the History Extension Service is a way for us to get these students out into the field, working with organizations that need historical expertise. And the students have that and they're developing it. And they're, you know, a little bit of support from us in the department, but it's really all about the students and these organizations doing great work together.
So, Bob, I do want to hear from the students in a minute who are joining us, but for some background as well, the campus shut down in March, as we all know.
Yes.
So did you see this kind of as an opportunity for these students who were studying history to maybe return to their hometowns and kind of, you know, start that History Extension Service there?
Absolutely. Absolutely. So, you know, the History Extension Service is modeled after the agricultural extension services that many listeners will be familiar with colleges providing agricultural expertise out in the field. And my hope with this program was you've got these students and initially it was going to be, well, you know, we'll figure this out during the summertime. And then going back home happened a lot earlier.
Yeah.
And so you had students back in their hometowns, back in their communities. And my hope had been and continues to be that the program will grow so that the students, you know, will be all over the state providing these kinds of services. But COVID kind of accelerated the process, threw some wrenches into the process as well. Really, I think we tried to turn that challenge into an opportunity for these students and their communities.
So, Blake, this spring, you actually took that opportunity to work with the WASMA Center for Human Rights in Boise, and you compiled LGBTQ narratives. Can you talk a little bit more about some of that work you did?
Yeah, and thank you so much for having me. This project was an amazing opportunity because, to be honest, it kind of fell in my lap. I saw the call out for applicants from Bob and other folks in the history department. And then I just kind of connected with a professor that I work closely with a lot, and she immediately was able to connect me with Dr. Dan Prinzing at the WASMA Center for Human Rights. And I kind of had an idea going forward. I knew that I wanted to do something around queer and trans history in Idaho because we don't hear those stories a lot. And being someone who grew up in a really, really rural and conservative area of Idaho myself, down in Southern Idaho, and being a queer person, I had no concept of queer and trans people being alive, existing and being celebrated within Idaho. So I reached out and this was already a project that was going on and it was pretty amazing. So the WASMA Center has a framework that they use for talking about the devolution of human rights within a society. And that's called the spiral of injustice. And so it goes through five different stages: language, avoidance, discrimination, violence, and elimination. And basically, I was able to write the introduction and historical account to kind of provide some context. And then we were able to reach out to different people from around the state to talk about each of those particular areas and share their experiences within Idaho. And I think we've really put together some incredible work, really moving writing that shows a broad range of experiences.
Blake, was there a story in particular that touched you, that stood out to you as you were doing this research?
Yeah, so I think each of them did. I think mm-hmm. something that's actually incredible about this project was that 4 out of the 5 authors are trans, trans and or non-binary. And that's really something that's extremely rare to find in Idaho. Mm-hmm. And so we actually were able to get in contact with a local 15-year-old Black trans man here in Boise, actually. And he was able to write about discrimination. And the language that he had and the power that he conveyed in talking about his experiences really just astounded me. And I'm very, very grateful for the history and the people that have come before him and people like me. But it gave me so much hope because he talks about these horrible things that he's experienced, you know, from bullying to violence and all sorts of different mm-hmm. things. But he also talks about his hopes and his dreams. And it was just incredible.
And then Shana, while Blake was working in Boise with the Wathma Center, you, went to Caldwell to compile narratives about women's suffrage. I'm really curious about what inspired this particular project for you.
What really inspired the project for me was I was really excited about all of the planned events for the 100th anniversary mm-hmm. of the ratification of the 19th Amendment that Boise had. And when they were all canceled due to COVID, I felt really let down. And I feel like once again, women lost their voices because of a tragedy going on, and it wasn't the time to celebrate, you know, women's suffrage. I wanted to keep it going personally. So I decided I needed to create a very vivid and colorful exhibit on women's suffrage and Idaho's place in it at this museum, where I knew they needed more visitors. It's a tiny little museum that doesn't get a lot of attention, and they have a rotating space for exhibits. And I just went for it, and I poured my heart and soul into it.
So, Shana, what the museum you're talking about, can you tell us the name of it and where it is? Because as you said, I mean, it's small, it's in Caldwell. Oh. A lot of people may not know about it.
Exactly. So the name of the museum is the Our Memories Indian Creek Museum, and it's really close to their new revitalized downtown along Indian Creek and the Indian Creek Plaza that hosts a lot of events now, like farmers markets and concerts. It's really nearby on Main Street, and it's definitely, you could go to Caldwell and make a day of it for sure and come visit the museum and the exhibit.
The exhibit will be up through Election Day, correct?
Yes, they wanted to leave it up through Election Day just to inspire women, because we have, you know, votes for women signs out. Mm-hmm. And of course, the topic is suffrage, so an equal suffrage. So it's very relevant.
And then, Blake, getting back to you, you're actually now writing an ebook, correct? What has that experience been like for you?
Yeah, it's been an amazing experience. So this project was originally inspired and conceived by Joni Shuler, who is the grandchild of Marilyn Shuler, who started mm-hmm. the Wasma Center for Human Rights and was a huge human rights advocate for a long, long time in Idaho, and just passed away here a few years ago. And so this was actually inspired by the anti-trans legislature that came through this past legislative session. And Joni wanted to create a project out of this as a sitting board member. So yeah, then we were able to just I was able to just jump on, like I said, it kind of fell in my lap. And we were able to reach out and connect with different authors from around the state and just kind of tell them what we were doing, invite them to be part of it. And then they were able to kind of formulate the story in whatever way that they wanted to.
Now, Bob, a key part of the Working History Center and the History Extension Service is that you actually have some funding to award students so that they can do work with these organizations. Can you talk about the importance of students, you know, getting paid for this work?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. So I'm the internship coordinator for the department too, and there are so many great opportunities out there and so many students that want to seize those opportunities, but they're very busy people and, you know, there's travel involved, there are other expenses involved. And so so many times a student says, gosh, I really would love to do that internship. I'd love to help that organization out, but I just can't make it work with my schedule and I can't make the gas money work. So with this little bit of funding that we have that was generously donated during a fundraising drive last year as part of Bronco Giving Day, as well as some other contributions made internally as well at the university, we were able to help out these students and encourage them to take on these projects that, frankly, they did way more work than what they were paid for. But at least is it some way of acknowledging, recognizing, and thanking them for their service, as well as helping out with some of the expenses that come along with it.
So Blake and Shana, I'm curious, what was the significance for you that this program did offer funding? I mean, frankly, do you think you would have been able to do the work if there hadn't been some type of compensation? And so Shana, I'll start with you.
I definitely would not have been able to do the project without funding. I needed to create and generate my own materials, and my museum is not well funded. It has almost no budget that I was working in. So if I couldn't have had those materials made and bought stuff for the displays, it literally would not have happened. It was the only way it happened for me.
And Blake, what about you?
Yeah, I pretty much have the same account. You know, at the beginning of the summer, when I first heard about this project, I had just found out that my job was not going to be able to continue into the summer. So I was looking for other opportunities right away. And queer and trans history is something that I'm extremely passionate about, and I expect to dedicate my life or a good portion of it to it. But I definitely would not have been able to get involved in this project at all.
And Bob, your programs in the history department are still fairly new. So what hopes do you have for how they might continue, you know, to evolve over the years?
Yeah, my hope is that, my imagination, my vision, my dreams are that on summer breaks, as students leave campus and they head back home, that they will have already arranged partnerships with their local organizations, that maybe it's a small museum that needs help with an exhibit. Maybe it's some other kind of organization that needs historical perspective, and that we'll be able to put students in these kinds of positions where they can help out those organizations and continue to develop their skills in history. And then over time, you know, we'll accumulate the expertise as well from all these students. The work that they're doing is not just sort of one-off, but, you know, we'll be saving it and showing it to future students about the kinds of projects they can do, the kinds of ways that they can develop their expertise and assist these communities in having the historical perspective that, frankly, we all need.
And Bob, there's something to be said, I think, too, about the importance of getting students off campus and into the communities to actually, you know, physically work on projects in the field that they are going into. I mean, yes, you need that classroom time, but you know, this is significant for these students to be able to actually do the work they will be doing once they graduate.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, first of all, it's as much as I would like to think that my classroom experiences are the most exciting things that students will have, I know that it's...
I'm sure they are.
Yeah.
You know, but I know that it's out in the field where the real fire gets lit in terms of being able to say, oh, I'm making those connections between the stuff that I was learning in the classroom and the way that it can be put to use, really good use. I mean, these projects that these students developed, you know, that is exactly what we need in terms of demonstrating the vitality and relevance of history. And that's for these organizations, for these communities, and for the students too.
Shana, what is your takeaway from this project that you worked on about women's suffrage?
My main takeaway on my own personal level was that people who are not like myself, who are not necessarily from Idaho, I've been here for a little while, but not long, can still have a very positive impact on Idaho and on their communities. And don't let some of the negative vibes that might be out there about non-natives hold you back. You know, you can still have a lot to say and a lot to give to Idaho, even if you're not a native. That's what I took away.
You know, and Blake, as we wrap up, I mean, as we all know, Idaho is a red state. And I think because of that, there are some people who fall into this idea, you know, of assuming that this means that there's zero diversity, right? And that can include diversity in sexuality or gender. So I'm curious, do you hope that your work will maybe help to change some of these assumptions?
Yeah, I mean, that is kind of the goal. You know, it's really scary recently in the last 4 or 5 years or so, we've really seen the ramping up of anti-trans legislation and anti-trans oppression in lots of different ways. And we actually know that that is used as political leverage to sway people who maybe are moderate politically into a more conservative area because people just don't understand queer and trans people. There's a lot of misconceptions. There's a lot of fear. And that's been used against us for a long time. But for me, this project and reconnecting with queer and trans history is really, it's a sacred thing in discovering that we have always been here and we will always be here. And we always have more to do and more to say. So I'm always grateful and looking for opportunities like this. So I really, really appreciate Dr. Reinhart in contributing to this. But yeah, so just moving forward, we hope that, you know, this kind of education is really, really important and it does help people. So that is the hope.
And to realize that you know someone in your life who is queer or trans, even if you don't realize that you do.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. I want to thank all of you for taking time out of your day. Bob, what a great thing you're doing at the university. I mean, that hands-on experience. We have been talking with Boise State History Professor Bob Reinhart and his students, Blake Hunter and Shayna Lynch, talking about history really at our fingertips. Thank you, all three of you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Way to go, Shayna and Blake.
And up next, we're going to find some books your kids will love. I'm Gemma Gaudette. This is Idaho Matters.